Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, and I know I'm going home. Snowflakes are falling, my old home's calling, tall pines are humming when Christmas time's coming. Can't you hear them bells ringing, ringing joy to all? Hear them singing when it's snowing, I'll be going back to my country home.
Reading from Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me has helped us spread the good news. Philippians 1, verse 12. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, December 4th, 2024. We're continuing right where we left off yesterday. Actually, I'll re-air about 45 seconds as Pastor Rick Warren shares a verse and develops the importance of being resilient, and then begins to transition into the importance of our perspective, how we look at things, whether we take a worldly view or a godly view, whether we look at things with a contemporary point of view or an eternal perspective, and are we looking at this life as this is all it is, or do we see it as preparatory for our future everlasting life? Today we'll look at how pain can be used to help us be more like Jesus, how it can be used for us to help others, and how it can be used to be a witness to the world. Here's Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church.
And 2 Corinthians 4, 8 to 10 says this: We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed and broken. We are perplexed, but we don't give up and quit. We are hunted down, but God never abandons us. And we get knocked down, but we get up again and keep going. I'm knocked down, but I'm not knocked out, he's saying. Through suffering, these bodies of ours constantly share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Now that's what I call a resilient person. And he says, no matter what happens, I'm the Energizer Bunny, I keep on ticking. What was the secret of Paul's resilience? His determination, his ability to bounce back, no matter how bad things happen in his life? The answer is right here. It's perspective. It's the way he looked at things. He looked at life not from a worldly view, but from a godly view, not from a contemporary view, but from an eternal perspective. He looked at his life in light of eternity, realizing that this life is just preparation for the next, and no matter how hard the problem is, it's just temporary, but the rewards in eternity are going to go on forever. You see, you can handle unbelievable pain if you see a purpose in it. Now, if you don't see a purpose in it, you're not going to be resilient. But if you see a purpose in it, and you see God's hand, God is using this to draw me closer to him. God is using this to teach me to love other people. God is using this to make me more like Christ. Then you get resilience. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 to 18. This is on your outline. For this reason, he says, in other words, because I have this eternal perspective, for this reason, we never become discouraged. He says, even though our physical being is gradually decaying, yet our spiritual being is being renewed day after day. And these temporary troubles that we suffer, that laundry list I just read, these temporary troubles we suffer will bring us a tremendous and eternal glory, much greater than the trouble. For we fix our attention not on things that are seen, but on things that are unseen. What can be seen lasts only for a short time, but what cannot be seen lasts forever. He says, I don't look at my problems. I don't look at my pain. I don't look at my difficulty. I look beyond that to the reward that's going to be in heaven. Jesus did the same thing. The Bible says Jesus endured the cross because he was looking forward to his reward. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, Moses endured suffering because he had his eyes on the prize, on the reward in heaven. I don't know what's discouraging you this day. It may be a physical problem. It may be a financial problem. It may be a relational problem. There are some things that are prolonged pain in your life, and it just seems like they're not going away. I call it the how long test. Lord, how long? How long is this going to go on? And it doesn't, you see no end in sight for this problem. You see no end in sight for this pain. You don't see any solution on the horizon. You're in the tunnel and you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. And you are discouraged and you feel like giving up. And before we go to these last two purposes, I want to stop and pray for you. And if you're going through physical pain or financial or emotional or relational or any other kind of difficulty that is, you say, I'm tempted to be discouraged. I'm tempted to give up. And we're going to pray for you. And I've asked a special guest to pray for you. And it's somebody who I've watched deal with chronic illness and pain for much of her life. And it is my daughter, Amy.
Lord, I'm so humbled at the opportunity to take my precious brothers and sisters to you. God, it's an awesome privilege to stand in the gap. Lord, I just want to start off first and ask for what we all want, for what we so desperately wait for, Lord, and that's deliverance. Lord, I ask right now that you would deliver people from their pain, from illness, from loneliness, from loss, from mental illness, from struggle. Lord, I know that with this many people standing, there are just that many more who are still sitting.
Yeah.
I'm the kind of person who stays seated, so I know that there's those in here who are too tired, who are too weak, too downtrodden. They're giving up. They don't care. Who cares to stand up? Nothing's changing. But Lord, you are aware. You are sitting there with your arm around them, holding them. I pray, Lord, in this moment that you would give them peace, knowing that you are carrying them in the moment so they just can't walk another step. Lord, you are our Abba, you are our Father, and you want your kids to ask good things of you. So we ask this good thing, Lord. We ask for deliverance.
Amen.
We're your kids and we trust you. Lord, we ask in faith because you are who you say you are. You can be trusted. Lord, we can't even ask this without knowing that, God, you are healer and you make all things new. Lord, as we wait for your answer, would you give us strength? Would you help us to run the race with endurance and to not give up?
Amen.
Lord, your word says the same power that raised Christ from the dead is the same power that's available to us. So you're not asking for us to do this just even on blind faith. Lord, you want to empower us to walk in this truth. So Lord, help us to cling to that, that you will empower us as we step out in faith. Lord, be close. I know what it's like to show up, to smile, to put on a happy face, take a shower, to be somewhere, but to go home and cry because it's just all too hard. Lord, you know the lonely tears. You know the moments where we crawl in bed and ask God just to take it all away. Lord, thank you that you're a kind of God who weeps with those who weep, that you're close to the brokenhearted, that you're a man of sorrows, well acquainted with grief. That Jesus, when you were here, you didn't spend your time with the well or the well-to-do or the religious or the rich. You spent your time with those who were hurting, who were lonely, who were outcasts, who were sick, who were forgotten. What a reminder that God, you truly love and care for those who are hurting. Lord, help us to see you. Give us eyes to see you. Expand our minds and our understanding of you, Lord, because sometimes that is the only thing that carries us, to know, God, that you are real and you are powerful and you're making all things new and you'll bring good out of everything to those who love you and are called according to your purposes. Lord, help us to not be bitter. It's so easy to look on other people's lives and think it looks simple and easy, and it's just a natural thing to become bitter and angry at what other people's lives look so basic. Lord, help us to be compassionate, not bitter. Turn the pain into something much more powerful, something that breaks down walls, that loves those who are unlovable. Tenderize us, Father. And Lord, we just ask that you would bring beauty from the ashes.
Amen.
Only you, God, can do that. We hold on to you, Jesus, when it feels like there's nothing else to hold on to. Give my precious brothers and sisters the ability to take another step tomorrow, to trust you, Lord, for that day. Even if it's moment by moment, Lord, we hold on to you. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, let me quickly give you the last two purposes of pain in your life. God says, if I choose, then I can choose to let pain draw me closer to God. And I have, and I want you to do it too. God says, I can choose to let pain draw me closer to other people. I can let it deepen my love, get my eyes off myself and onto others. And I have, and I hope you will too. God says, if I want to, I can choose to become more like Jesus Christ and grow in character. Jesus learned obedience through suffering. Jesus was made perfect through suffering. Number four, I can use my pain to help others. This is the purpose of service. This is called redemptive suffering. It's suffering for the benefit of others. It is the highest and best use of your pain. Now, follow me on this. If you're going to be in pain, because we live in a broken world and everybody has pain, we all have pain, nobody lives a pain-free life. If you're going to have pain and you know you're going to have it, why not at least get some credit for it? And you don't get credit for your pain by mumbling, moaning, complaining. And you don't get credit for your pain for pulling yourself into a self-centered person and ignoring the needs of other people. You don't get credit for your pain by feeling sorry for yourself and having a pity party. You get credit for your pain by using it to help other people who are in the same kind of pain. God says that is the highest and best use, and you will be richly rewarded for it. And rather than focusing on my hurt, my feeling, how I feel bad, I refocus it and I refocus on the pain of others. Right after Matthew died, I just decided that I was going to use social media to encourage other people in pain. And I began tweeting and Facebooking and Instagramming and all the other ones, LinkedIn and stuff like that. Why? Because I wanted to redeem my pain. I didn't want to waste my pain. I wanted to use it. I wanted to use it to help other people. We began this series with 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and I'm going to end it with it too. It's there in your outline, 2 Corinthians 1, 4 to 6. God comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort others. Bam, there it is. God comforts us in our troubles so we can comfort others. Then when others are troubled, we're able to give them the same comfort that God has given us. And you can be sure that the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. So, when we're weighed down with troubles, it's for your benefit. It's for your salvation. For when God comforts us, it's so that we in turn can be an encouragement to you. Then you can patiently endure the same things that we suffer. Now, this is Common Sense 101. Who can better help a struggling veteran than somebody who's been a veteran? Who can better help parents of a special needs child than somebody who's been a parent of a special needs child? Who can better help somebody struggling with a chronic illness than somebody who is struggling with a chronic illness? They understand. Who could better help someone who's been molested or raped than someone who's been molested or raped? Don't waste your hurt. Don't hide your hurt. Let God heal it. And let God recycle it, and let God use it, and let God utilize it, and let God bless other people. Don't waste any pain in your life. I can use it to help others. And finally, number five, I can use my pain to witness to the world. I can use my pain to witness to the world. Now, when you start talking about witnessing or evangelism, everybody all gets uptight. The one thing about believers and non-believers that they have in common is they both are nervous about evangelism. Evangelism comes from the Greek word evangel, which means good news. All it is sharing good news. And the highest form of witnessing is witnessing in your pain. I can use my pain to witness to the world. You see, God knows the exact opposite is true of what we think is true. We think that the world is impressed by our prosperity and how we handle prosperity. So we want to show off our prosperity. That doesn't impress the world. The world is impressed with how we handle adversity. Not prosperity, adversity. We think that our successes give us credibility. When God says, no, your suffering gives you credibility. We think that fame earns respect. When God says, no, what actually earns respect is faithfulness in tough times. You see, I could stand up here right now and I could tell you my banner list of achievements in my lifetime. And I got this award and 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 this award, blah, 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 wah, 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 wah. And you'd be going, well, goody for you. Ain't that grand. It would not draw us closer together. It would not make you more like Christ. It wouldn't serve you. And you would not even be impressed. But when I stand up here and I tell you about the hell that I've gone through after my son took his life, after struggling with mental illness for 27 years, that touches you. And you're listening. And it's a witness. What I'm saying is your weaknesses will actually gain a hearing more than your strengths. That's the exact opposite of what everything in the world and culture has taught you. You think, I have to be successful to be heard as a Christian. I have to be rich to be heard as a Christian. I have to be famous to be heard as a Christian. No, you have to be authentic in pain. And when you're authentic in pain, you will have more people listening to you than you could possibly imagine. Because when I started sharing about my pain, they came out of the woodwork. And you would not believe how many lives I've been able to just talk with that I would have never had any connection to in any other way. Because pain humanizes, pain sympathizes, pain causes you to have a credibility with people. So I use my pain to witness to the world. Now, again, I keep going back to Paul because he was the pro at this. He had the most pain and God used him to bless the world by writing half of the New Testament. And Paul says this in Philippians 1:12. I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me, now, what is everything that's happened to me? All those shipwrecks, the beatings, the going without food, the hunger, all of the hit with rods, the put in prison, all that stuff that I read you, he says, I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me has helped to spread the good news. That's pretty amazing. Everything that's happened. And I would say that's true in my life. Everything that has happened to me has helped spread the good news. Paul says, I use my pain as a model for my message. God wants you to use your pain as a model for your message, as a platform for your life message. God says, the thing that you regret the most, you hate the most, you despise the most, the thing that you wish had never happened in your life, those most painful things, he says, I want to use that in your life to touch other people in pain. But you got to be honest to yourself, honest to God, and then honest with others. And you've got to be vulnerable. Paul says, I use my pain as a model for my message. 2 Corinthians 6:4. In everything we do, Paul says, we try to show that we're true servants of God. He says, I'm using my message, my model of the message through the pain. In everything we do, we try to show that we're true servants of God. How? We patiently endure suffering and hardship and trouble of every kind. I said this week on Twitter. Your deepest life message will come out of your deepest pain. And this is real witnessing. It's Christ-like witnessing. It's what Jesus did for you. What is the greatest witness of God's love? The greatest witness of God's love is not what Jesus said, it's not what Jesus did. The greatest witness of God's love is not the Sermon on the Mount. It's not the sermons he preached. The greatest witness of God's love is not the miracles that Jesus did. The greatest witness of God's love is the suffering of Jesus. This is how much I love you. I love you so much, it hurts. So the bottom line is this. You're going to have pain in your life. I wish I could stop it. I can't. You're going to have pain in your life. Now, you can either use it for good or you can waste it. Please don't waste it. What we're talking about here is purpose-driven pain. Pain that causes me to worship, to fellowship, to disciple, to minister, to evangelize. Pain that causes me to know Christ, to love Christ, to grow in Christ, to share Christ, to serve Christ. Pain that has a purpose. You're going to have pain. You may as well use it for good. Now notice on your outline, I left a line there. It says, helping others. Write down the four most painful experiences in your life. Then go back over this list and look at how God could use that instance in each of these five areas. And then the second thing I want you to write down is the names of people who are going through those similar things right now. And you just discovered your ministry. And you just discovered your life message, and you just discovered purpose-driven pain. In recovery, we call this the 12th step, that you don't get well till you're helping somebody else. When are you recovered from anything? You're not recovered until you're helping somebody else. And if you never help somebody else, you will never recover from your pain. It's the only way you get out of it. God has wired it that when I give it away, it is when Job prayed for his friends that God healed Job. So do this on a personal level, and then do it on a family level, if you have a family. And you might sit and say, what's been the pain in our family? Every family has family hurts. And talk about them as a family and say, how could we help other families in the same situation that we're in? And then we ought to look at it as a church. You know, the name Saddleback, S-A-D-D-L-E-B-A-C-K, each one of those letters represents a value. And the first value at Saddleback is the S in Saddleback, and it stands for this. Saddleback is a second chance grace place. It's a place where people can start over. It's a place where people who've really messed up can begin again. It's a place where people in pain can find new hope. Let's bow our heads. Father, we've gone through this series and we've treaded some deep waters. We've looked at shock and sorrow and struggle and surrender and sanctification and now service. And we see how that you don't want to just waste the pain that happens in our lives. You want us to use it. Would you pray this prayer in your heart? Say, dear Jesus Christ, use the pain in my life to draw me closer to you. Say, Jesus Christ, use the pain in my life to teach me how to really love and draw closer to others. Say, Jesus Christ, use the pain in my life to make me more like you. And Jesus, use the pain in my life to serve others, to serve God by serving others. And Jesus Christ, use the pain in my life as a witness to the world that you can be counted on, that you are a good God, that you give us strength even in the most difficult of times. If you've never opened your life to Jesus Christ, say, Jesus Christ, come into my life right now and begin the healing process. I want to follow you. I want to learn to love you and trust you. And I invite you into my life in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen and amen. Listening friend, if you just prayed that prayer, welcome to the family of God. Or maybe you prayed it as it gave a great overview and outline of today's message by Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church. As he recapped, pain can be used for a good purpose. It can be used to draw us closer to God. It can be used to draw us closer to others. It can be used for us to become more like Jesus. It can be used for us to help others, and it can be used for us to be a witness to the world. And as mentioned, we all experience pain, heartache, suffering, disappointment, loss. So I know there was something spoken that can be used to help you on your faith journey and grow closer to God. And if this is the day that you ask Jesus into your heart, recognizing Him as Lord and Savior, and you want to talk to somebody, call 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. It's a free call. And there are friendly trained counselors that'll answer your questions about who is Jesus, what's it like to be on a faith journey, how you can know God in a personal way, can you trust the Bible? They'll even pray with you. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. Well, if you missed a portion of yesterday or today's broadcast, or you want to hear one of the last 7 weeks during Mark and Friends where we cover the topic shock when your world collapses, sorrow, healing a broken heart, struggle when you don't understand, surrender, how to experience peace, sanctification, how God turns bad to good, Kay Warren on finding treasures in darkness, and then yesterday and today on service, how to use your pain for good. All those programs are archived at greatnewsradio.org, also at WLUJ.org under the Mark and Friends tab. Now, there is one more in this series. It was about an hour and 20-minute message from Pastor Rick Warren and his wife, Kay, and I'll be praying that up, whether to air that over like 3 or 4 days or transition into some holiday favorites in the coming days during Mark and Friends. But on Monday, we'll continue with Pastor Jason Epperson's walk through the book of Exodus. And then on Friday, for the next 4 weeks, Pastor Jason Schiffo and a room of friends will cover Advent messages looking at Isaiah 7, Isaiah 9, Hebrews 1 through 2, and Revelation chapter 21 to get us grounded in the Advent season. Those will be the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.